All right, so if you have your Bibles, we'll be in Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 27 this morning. We are in a series on the Holy Spirit. And one thing we have learned as we've been going through the series is the Bible says a lot about the Holy Spirit. I know historically Christians haven't really said much about the Holy Spirit. But when you turn to the Bible, it actually says a lot about the Holy Spirit and what the Spirit does. The Spirit is the presence of God, the power of God at work in our midst. And if that's the case, right, we would expect to see a lot about the Spirit that God continues to do through His personal presence among us. So this summer, some things we've talked about with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is connected with salvation and bringing not just life, he's even connected with creation, in fact, bringing life, but even bringing new life and salvation. The Spirit speaks. The Spirit speaks through His Word, Scripture, and the Spirit continues to speak and lead us today in keeping with the Word of God, Scripture. The Spirit empowers us for ministry. So in the ministry of Jesus, He's led by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, and the early church is empowered by the Holy Spirit. As God calls them to do things they could never do by their own power. Today, we are empowered by that same Spirit. And God works through His people to bring about His purposes and His will in the world. The Holy Spirit leads us. Again, in the early church, we see how the Spirit led them, even in surprising places. Sometimes the Spirit leads us in difficult places that we might not have chosen on our own, but God even uses that for His glory. The Holy Spirit unites us. So as you look around, we're very different from one another in many ways, but we're united in Jesus Christ. We're one in Christ, and the Spirit is that bond of unity that holds us together. Today we're going to talk about how the Spirit liberates, how He sets us free, and we think about the hope we have in Christ. In the next couple of weeks, we'll talk about the Spirit equips us, gives us gifts for ministry. The Spirit transforms us, helps us to grow in holiness and look more like Jesus Christ. So the Spirit does a lot, doesn't He? God's doing a lot in our day and in our time. And I'm sure there's even more things we could look at than just these. But this gives us some sense of all the different things that the Spirit is doing. Now, Romans chapter 8, I'm highlighting here verse 2, because I think verse 2 does give us a snapshot of the gospel and a snapshot of Paul's message in the first part of Romans chapter 8. Paul says, through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Now, that term law may throw us there, but this has to do basically with the authority or the power. Who are we under? Whose control are we under? So through Christ Jesus, the Spirit who gives us life, set us free, we're under His control now, not the control of sin and death. We have been set free. And this is what we sang about this morning. This is the message of the gospel. It's great news. And I'm afraid a lot of times when our world hears this, maybe some of us here today when we hear this, we've been set free. I don't know, maybe we shrug our shoulders. We're disinterested. Maybe we don't believe that we've been set free. I think there's two basic reasons we may not take seriously this text and this idea that we have been set free through Jesus Christ and by the Spirit. One is denial. We kind of deny that we're in slavery. The other one's despair. And we're going to take each of these in turn this morning, but let's start with denial. The Bible says that we are slaves to sin apart from what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. And yet for many of us, I think, we think we're all right. We know we're not perfect, right? But sin isn't really that big of a deal. Is sin really that big of a problem? Or maybe we even enjoy our sin. That's interesting. We kind of prefer sin than the life of freedom that God wants for us. And we don't see clearly how sin is destroying us, how we are slaves, how it takes away the things in our lives that are good, how it takes away from our life with God. And so we simply live in denial instead of embracing the freedom that God wants us to enjoy through Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible talks a lot about sin, I think not to show us how evil we are so we can wallow in shame and guilt. And that's just where we stay in this point of we're sinners. The Bible tells us about our sin so we can recognize what's going on. We can live in the truth. God brings about salvation through His Son by the power of the Spirit. And He wants us not to wallow in shame and guilt and the consequences of sin. He wants us to be free. But we have to embrace that freedom. In Jesus' day, He too tried to convince people and had to convince people that they were slaves to sin. And so in John 8, when He's talking to some of the Jewish leaders, His own people, it says, to the Jews who had believed in Him, Jesus said, if you hold to My teaching, you are really My disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Not living in denial, living in truth, the truth will set you free. They answered Him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? This is one of those strange verses in the Bible. And it is one of those verses of just complete denial. Because the people of Israel at this time are under Roman captivity. And they're under Roman rule, at least. They're a colony of the Roman Empire. But then part of their history, part of the great narrative of the people of Israel is that they were once slaves in Egypt. And so this is just where our pride and our sense of being in control gets in the way of just the truth. But they're talking about political freedom. Jesus wants them to move them beyond just political freedom. He says, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Jesus wants to move beyond political freedom, talk about our slavery to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Jesus wants us to move from denial to freedom. He wants us to move from being slaves to being children, to being sons. And I think today in our world, we also struggle with the reality of our sin, the reality of our bondage. Last week, we celebrated Independence Day. And Independence Day is an important day in our country where we celebrate our political freedom, and it is an important day for us. And yet it is amazing how our own political freedom can sometimes blind us to the ways that sin enslaves. So we can be politically free. We can be a world superpower and be enslaved by greed and by money. We can have political freedom and be slaves to sexual lust and all kinds of sexual perversion. We can be slaves to pleasure. We can be slaves to self-image. I was just talking to Charles Fuller as we were coming in, and it's interesting. God has blessed us in so many ways, and yet we can be so critical and biting. We never appreciate what God has given us. We're never satisfied. And so you get on the internet or you watch the talk shows, and there's just a slavery, a critical spirit that we can be enslaved to. Well, in Romans chapter 8, Paul, much like Jesus, says that we are slaves. We're slaves to sin and the law. And basically the law just simply says, hey, you've sinned and there's a consequence and you owe a debt. He says that we're slaves to death. We're all going to die. Last week I was talking to Mary Ely, and I'm fascinated by these little things right here that we have out in our foyer. Aren't you fascinated? Is anybody else fascinated by these? This is milk. This is cream. And did you know we never really refrigerate these? We never refrigerate these, and you buy them in the store, they're not refrigerated. And I don't know about these young folks, but when I grew up back in the day, back a long time ago, we had to refrigerate milk, or after about a day, I mean, it would be horrible, right? It would spoil. So I was talking to Mary Ealing. She goes, oh, yeah, man, we just pump our foods with preservatives. Just pump them with preservatives. And they say even when you die, your body doesn't decay as rapidly as it used to because we're so full of preservatives. So I don't know if these are good or bad for us. They may kill us early, but you got a couple extra days before your body decays. But you know what? The reality of the fact still is that one day we're going to die. And it may take a few days longer, but we're going to decay. And that's our fate. And we're slaves. Paul says, Jesus Christ has set us free. But freedom alone isn't enough. Freedom alone isn't enough. This church works with Hope Works, which is a great ministry in our city. Great ministry. And Hope Works works with a number of folks in our community, helping them get on their feet, have a career, long-term sustainable employment. One group of people that they work with is called as part of the program with the city, the Second Chance Program. These are people who, typically men, who've been in jail. They're coming out. They're looking for a second chance. So think about this for a moment. You can be in jail, and you can be set free. And isn't that great? Now, I'm set free, and yet those guys will tell you, if you just keep doing the same old things you've always been doing, we're just going to end up in slavery again, right? You're just going to end up in jail. You got to have a new direction. You have to have a new purpose. You even have to have, I would say, a new power, and the same is true for us. We've been set free from sin, and now there's a new direction. There's a new purpose. There's a new power. This is where the Holy Spirit comes in. This is the power, the presence of God, because we've gone from slavery to sin to freedom for righteousness, to be the people God wants us to be, and it's the Spirit that transforms us to live holy and righteous lives. We've gone from slavery to death to freedom for life, life today and life eternally. We're going to look at that a little bit more in just a second. It's the Spirit who dwells within us that's going to raise us up from the dead, just as the Spirit raised Jesus up from the grave. We've been slaves, and now because of our new standing in Christ, we are children of God, sons of God. We are adopted. And by the power of the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, we can come before God as our Abba, Father. Abba is an Aramaic word. A personal word here, a familiar word, that you're my father, you're my dad. We can come into the presence of God through Jesus Christ as children. This blows me away. We can have the same relationship with the Father that Jesus has with the Father. It's easier for me to pray to the God of the universe than it is to even talk to my own dad. Talk to your boss at work. We can come into the presence of the living God, and through the Spirit who dwells within us, we can call Him, rightly so, Father. That's powerful. We have been set free from sin. And what God wants to do is move us from denial to freedom. So the second response to the gospel message, we've been set free. A second response is despair. Maybe we recognize our sin. Maybe we're not in denial. We recognize our sin and where we stand with God. We see the injustice in the world. Maybe we've even been part of trying to change it. And now we live in despair. We just think, you know, nothing's ever going to change. I am the way I am. I'm even part of the problem. Isn't that a horrible thing when you wake up one day and realize, you know, when you're younger, you think you can change the world. But one day you wake up and realize, wow, I'm part of the problem.
And that's discouraging. That leads us to despair. And we think about what's going on in the world and all the trouble, and we wonder if it'll ever change. It'll never change. Do our efforts mean anything? And so we can live a life of resignation, live a life where we no longer believe the truth, not of what we can do, but the truth of God's promise, what God's going to do. And so God wants to move us, and we're in despair. He wants to move us from despair to hope, to an expectation of what God is going to do to bring about the liberation, the renewal of all things. Now, this vision that God has in Romans chapter 8, it is shocking. And I want us to turn back here and look at this. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 18. So I think for many Christians, we don't quite understand God's final vision of all things. We kind of stop before the final vision. So we think about death, and we go and be with God. Perhaps there's a part of us or soul that's with God in the heavenly realms, in God's territory, the heavens. But Scripture also talks about that's an in-between time, but there's also a final vision where God's going to bring about the renewal and the redemption and the freedom, the liberation of all things. In Romans 8, he starts big. He starts with all creation. He starts with the whole universe. Then he works down, and we're going to see he talks about us individually. But let's look here in Romans 8, 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation, all things God has made, the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected. It's in bondage. It's not free. It's enslaved. It was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it. And this here is referring to God subjecting creation because of the sin of Adam and Eve. But he subjected it in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. Creation is groaning, it's in slavery. The final vision, Paul says here, John says it in Revelation 21, and it's throughout Scripture. The final vision is God's going to redeem all things. Sin has impacted all things. God doesn't just get rid of what he's made. He's going to redeem all things. There's going to be a new heaven, a new earth, a new creation. There's going to be a marriage of heaven and earth. And God's going to bring about the renewal and the redemption of all things. And what this is going to look like, I have no idea. But Scripture says it's going to be unbelievable. All creation will be liberated, will be set free. In verse 22, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Holy Spirit. We have this future hope. We have part of it in us right now. The Holy Spirit of God dwells within us. We have the first fruits of the Spirit. But even we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly. Our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. Just as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, his body was raised from the grave. They go back to the tomb and it's no longer there. Paul says we're going to have the redemption, the resurrection of our bodies. Our whole self will be redeemed and transformed. Our bodies are going to be raised. Earlier in verse 11 of chapter 8, he says, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. He's going to give life to these mortal bodies and transform them because of his Spirit who lives in you. Just as the Spirit raised Jesus from the dead, he's going to raise us up from the dead. And that's our hope. God's going to liberate us. He's going to bring about true freedom to all creation, to us. Again, the marriage of heaven and earth. God will be with us. He will be our God. We will be his people for eternity. And that's the hope to which God calls us, moving us from despair to hope, because what God's going to do isn't based on our efforts or what we're able to accomplish. It's based on the promise of God. He's going to bring about the full and final redemption of all things. When I was younger and when I thought about the second coming, and I think this is fairly common, to be quite honest, I was scared to death. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I mean, think about the second coming and how Scripture portrays it. It can be frightening. And so you hear some loud noise, or you hear, we used to have a lot of airplanes going over our house, and it'd get cloudy, and you hear some loud noise, and is this it? Is this it? You know, hear a loud car horn. Is that the trumpet? Or, and this was me, when I was in school, we all had to do science fair projects. I hated science fair projects, but fourth and fifth grade, I had to do science fair projects. My kids, at least Audrey, see, that was an option. She could do it or not. I hated science fair projects because you had to come up with an experiment, and you had to do it, and it never worked, and you had to make a poster for it, and you had to present it. And I remember getting done with my science fair project and thinking, Jesus, if you come back today, I am not going to be happy. You could have come back 2 weeks ago, earlier. 2 weeks earlier would have been fine. You could have saved me from the science fair project. If you come back today, we got to talk, because why did you do this to me? And of course, that's all silliness, but isn't it somehow times how we think about the return of Christ? And yet when you turn to Scripture, I mean, they are excited. This can't come soon enough. They are living in hope. And one of the great prayers of Scripture is, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. And we're living in a world of suffering, and the early Christians are facing persecution, and they see all the evil in the world, and Jesus can't come soon enough. He cannot come soon enough, because that's going to be a great day. And that's the hope that they lived in. And so for us today, God wants us to move from despair to hope and excitement and anticipation. God's going to bring about the freedom and the liberation of all things, and the power of God that's going to make this all possible is the Holy Spirit who lives within us. The Holy Spirit is the power of God that brings about freedom and renewal for all things. Did you know that that's not even all of Romans 8? Romans 8, 1 through 27, some other great stuff after verse 27 too. An amazing passage, but as we reflect on this first part, a couple things I want us to take home today. Paul, who wrote Romans, would say, we need to live free. We have been set free from sin and from death, and we need to live as free people. We no longer have to go back to those things that destroy us, that destroy others. We no longer have to worry about what the world says. We no longer have to worry about the day of our death. We have been set free. Let's live as free people. Paul would say, let's live in hope. God has done great things. He's going to do even greater things. We don't live in despair. We live in hope. And then all through this passage in Romans 8, he says, we need to pray. The Spirit that lives within us allows us to come into the presence of God as our Father, and we can bring our requests to God. At the end of Romans 8, let me just read this again. Romans 8, this is verse 26. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Even in our sufferings, even in our trials, when we don't know what to say, all we have is this wordless groans, or maybe even no words, the Spirit of God brings our requests, intercedes on our behalf, brings us before the Father. And God is with us, and we need to be people of prayer. We are free in Jesus Christ. We're free by the power of the Spirit. And if you're not a Christian, if you don't know Jesus Christ, and you're tired of living in denial, you're tired of living in despair, we'd love to help you begin that walk of following him. I'm going to be in the back. One of our shepherds will be there as well. Barry's going to lead us in a song of encouragement. If you'd like to talk to us now, you'd like to talk to us later in the week, we'd love to do that. Let's all stand. Let's sing together the song of encouragement.